No, that's it. Let's bring it to broad fundamental terms. People feel a lot of foolishness happen, and they want to see somebody brought before the courts, whether successfully or unsuccessfully. That much is clear. I also think that there's a school of thought that suggests if Prime Minister Motley does not make at least an attempt to lock up someone, that there will be disappointment in the public domain because there will be a feeling that she's no different to several other leaders that have complained about corruption and then when given the opportunity, done nothing about it. So that much I'm sure of. For me, Mark, I have always said, and I will continue to reiterate, I held this position when there was a change of government in Trinidad and Tobago. I held this position when there was a change of government in Antigua and Barbuda. I held this position when there was a change of government in St. Kitts and Nevis. And I hold this position now, that I am more inclined towards the New Testament, even as you would have just heard from before, that I don't really know a lot about either the two books of the Bible as a non-believer. But fundamentally, I just think that there's a benefit to forgiveness for several reasons. One of the reasons is that I think that the level of emotional effort that is wrapped up in this vengeance is not good for Barbados, because I think that we have important work to do as a nation going forward, and I don't know that we need to spend time fighting, trying to see if we can lock up this person or lock up the next person. That's one point. The second point is that, Mark, as I have looked at the cost of the O'Halloran investigation in Trinidad and Tobago, the medical benefit scheme in Antigua, and those are the two ones I paid particular attention to, I am not convinced that it is worth the effort. I saw a report online, and it's available, you can look it up, in which Prime Minister of Antigua at the time, who was Baldwin Spencer, said that the quantity of money that they spent going after the principals in the medical benefit scheme scandal has not been justified by what they've been able to find and get back. Because it is not a situation where you can only find the money, but the question is, how do you retrieve it? And it was the same position that I took in relation to St. Kitts and Nevis, you know, and conversations I have had publicly and privately with the new incoming prime minister is that you just probably forget about it. Because people talk about thiefing, but when you start to actually try to accuse someone of being a thief and put that person before the law court, it's very, very challenging and it's very expensive. Forensic investigators are not cheap. They don't come cheap. And they start charging you fees from the time they start looking. And in many instances, as in the case of Antigua, as I said, they found money, but the money was lodged in a place where they had challenges legally to get at it. And the process of getting at that money in the places where it was hidden, it was expensive. So I just think that we need to be careful. And, you know, as I said, I will leave that one with you. I appreciate
that. Can I come in a bit?
There are two sides, and I gave you the both sides. But certainly for me, I go in with the New Testament. So I turn in the other cheek.
All right, let me come in.
So Ms. Motley now has the benefit of my second cheat.
All right.
She can kiss it or she can slap it. She can choose.
Right. Mr. Wickham, you went back to the Trinidad affair of Holland and Gomes. Mm-hmm. You and I know that an investigation was done. Has he ever had the right to return to Trinidad since that investigation took place?
He did.
He did. So right. I've said that before.
But that speaks volumes, Mark, because some of these investigations, it takes so long. By the time you actually get to identify where there is money, the person be dead. But, a lot of those guys went off to Canada to live. You know?
We also had a situation with
Panama.
Let's debate this. I'm not bringing it down to thiefing.
And in the case of Antigua, the principals that had been identified, which is Asa Michael, Lester Bird, Asa Michael won his seat. Has never not been a member of parliament. Lester Bird lost his seat and then won it back later.
What about Papa Doc? What about Baby Doc and Papa Doc?
But I don't know about that case. I haven't studied that in detail, and I don't know what benefits the Haitian economy was able to retrieve from those.
I've studied that to the point that was the most recent one that I've read. And the fact remained that millions and millions of dollars were unaccounted for. As far as Papa Doc was concerned, he believed that his son was capable of running the country and all of the investment. And what was done was that there was a clear case that something went wrong. Yeah. They were investigated. The son took exile in Paris. We put him under house arrest. As far as I'm concerned, there was proof that there was a lot of confiscation as far as the American, the money. But what I'm saying here...
Mark, before you go there, just let me make another final point that I wanted to make in terms of this whole thing, that the laws of Barbados, as I understand it, and the Constitution, assumes that up until the point in time when the new prime minister is installed, that that person will carry all the rights and privileges of the prime minister acting on behalf of the executive. So this whole idea that I think it was morally wrong for them to sign contracts binding the new government for all of that time. There's something immoral about it. But I don't know that it is illegal. If Randall Stewart, the morning after the election, went and signed a contract on behalf of government before Prime Minister Motley was sworn in, right? Hours before, he signed a contract on behalf of the government of Barbados. I would think that he is entitled to do so legally. It would be highly immoral, but the question is, can you hold something over that legally from someone?
Can the
moral judgment is dealt with by us. And my sense is that we have communicated very effectively our moral disgust with the Democratic Labour Party in the last election. What more do we want? Anyhow, fine, that's it for me. So it's all over to you now.
In my ignorance, Mr. Vickham, the fact remains that the House, there is a writ which allows the House to at least to operate, and there's a writ which allows the House to cease. You and I know that. I am saying that if on the 5th of March, that the House dissolve according to the writ that was issued previously by the Governor, and that somewhere along the line that the Constitution is questionable, that an executive body still can function at the level that they function at, putting the incoming government into a very serious position. So this is something we need to debate, and the lawyers and the persons in Barbados who may be more qualified than us will try to find out how it is that you are committed to Parliament by writ. You're committed to dissolve Parliament by writ. But right after this, you have a situation where the government that has been asked and the opposition that has been asked to vacate the position of the August Chamber can still do things that should not be done. I believe that should be debated. Do you agree with me on that?
I agree with you, it should be debated, but I also think it's going to be a very difficult objective to achieve, where you say that you continue as Prime Minister and you continue as head of executive, but you only have some of the powers and not all of the powers after a specific time.
Peter, I'm going to let you go, but I personally believe, right, the other point which I'll discuss with you later there with nuisance parties, because if this is something I want to discuss with you, because when you look back in the 50s, the amount of parties that was involved coming out of the vestry system, Barbados being dominated by what can be considered as the Conservative government and the Congress parties. One must remember that the Congress party associated himself in the early days with the Democratic Labour Party, giving Talma his seat and giving Crawford his seat. So we need to look back and get the political history of Barbados with parties in line, because coming out of that, we've seen the formation of a party that has no, in my opinion, has a lifespan of 70 or 80 years, because I believe that the party that was formed in 1955 has now reached the point where they need a headstone, and the headstone will say, here lies the body of the DLP.
Mark, it just crossed my mind, and I just want to just put this one to you, and you can respond. In the American system, one of the modifications they have made, because they were also Westminster, is that they have created a very clear line where they have said the president is elected in November, sworn in January. And the assumption is that in between there, you are elected, but you should not act in that regard. We've had situations where on the very last day in office, both President Obama and President Clinton offered or issued absolution for people who had sinned, I don't remember the legal word for them. But they were given those on the very last day in office. And then there was also a discussion recently about the fact that it appears as though Trump.
Trump.
His team was attempting to conduct foreign relations after they were elected, but before he became president. And that was also frowned upon. So I'm just trying to put this whole thing in context, that even in their system where they have drawn a line, it's fairly clear that until such time as you assume office, the old president and the old executive continues with all necessary powers to commit the government on behalf of, on the nation's behalf, even though there's a new person that is elected. So in as much as that is the case, it says that there clearly is a benefit in terms of administration, there's an administrative benefit to having that continuity and having a person be able to exercise all necessary functions on behalf of the government until such time as a new one is identified. All right, final word from you, and there we go.
Okay, I believe that others want to get him. I think that this, I would love to hear more people on this.
Yeah, sure.
I believe that in seriousness, as far as our country is concerned, and you and I know that we are dissatisfied that things we've And I think that the public of Barbados deserves to hear what happens in the final analysis as far as statements made. I'm saying to you, Peter, that somewhere along Barbados feels better. There's a freshness, air freshness going across this country. People are now smiling with one another and saying, hello, hi, how you keeping, how you feel. This stress of enemy instinct that developed in our minds over the last 10 years don't seem to be there anymore. And I hope that and pray that somewhere along the line, all of those things that have gone unanswered, in the interest of the Barbadians who have asked for change, that we will hear of those things that haven't been told to us why and how it happened.
Okay. All right, thank you for calling, and I have a few WhatsApp messages. Peter, I believe these people should be named and shamed at least, and the contract should be nullified. Peter, I'm sorry I'm in office and cannot call, but I don't agree with you. That way of thinking sends a wrong signal. Why should it that only the small man that can steal money and have to face the law of the land? I would like to agree with you, but normally I do not, and I think that you need to set an example. If not, it will end there. Dr. Brass Sox, good morning.
Good morning, Peter. Good
morning, sir. How are you doing?
Well, I guess that all the bother. I don't agree with you either.
Yeah, you know. Well, I because know all the way, old bees don't agree with me.
No, it's the same way that a man could charge for $10 or a split and place in prison for $10 split. I don't see why the others can't be accountable if they got to go to prison.
But he didn't want locking up neither. But I don't want locking up neither. I feel that all of that needs to stop,
but
too.
But that way it is. Let the CIA tomorrow, I'm not going to go to prison for a split, and they can find money to feed the at Dodds. Let me find money to feed the politician at Dodds, too. Good. Now, let me go on. Now, first thing, let me give you my enjoyment.
Sir, do you take anything from the point I'm making, though?
Man, no. I
think there's no validity in it whatsoever.
I am not listening to your point whatsoever. Okay. The fact remains that there's things that was done that wasn't enlightened to the masses, and people in this country pay a penalty to suffer, so all who cause us to suffer to pay the price. I done with that. Me and you are on the good lines, but I done with your point.
Fair enough, sorry.
All right, now let me tell you my enjoyment in this election. This is the first election for my 60, in my 60s that I enjoy, and my predictions came to pass. You remember I told you my first place I was going to Calvin's was in St. Lucie. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And then I told you, as soon as I heard George Brigham's name had mentioned, I say, go on to St. John. And I received my benefit. And I never knew, not till now, since election, that callers were accepted in homes in high esteem. Because I made some calls from home to St. John people. And when I told them who I was, they congratulated me and said they loved to listen to me. I did my part in St. John to make sure that your good friend never, ever lived long enough to enter Parliament. That's George Pilgrim.
George Pilgrim. Good. But what did my friend saw, though?
Yeah, because he deserved it. And I'm going to deal with it today. I'm going to tell you that I knew disaster was coming at George Street. God, the way he was selected in St. Thomas, a non-functional branch, to go out as a general secretary, I know at some time it's going to evolve. I know.
You don't think that George is a good general secretary?
Not at all. He couldn't even get, he wouldn't even run the branch in St. Thomas, where he was first had to be nominated to get down to George Street.
He never appeared in St. Thomas, and look,
don't let me even deal with that.
I just want to put in a word on behalf of my friend. He will continue to be my friend. I think that George made a reasonable effort to run the Democratic Labour Party in the context.
In the context
of all that was going on. Because you appreciate that running an organization with a leader like Frondaz Stewart is a challenge.
But listen, George.
Having said all of that, sir, I will say to you, and I will say to, I want the people to hear that the majority of Dems who are my friends would say that my advice to them was not to run on this ticket in this election. And I said same thing to George. I said, George, this is not the time that you want to be engaged. The problem is that it was difficult to tell a Dem that they were not going to win in the last election, I have them believe you because all of them felt they were winning. But I agree that he should have saved himself by not getting involved because this is not the election to get involved in. So I agree with your point that all of those selection processes that the Democratic Labor Party pursued were wrong. Because you can't be a Democratic Party and you're not even calling branch meetings. You're still there?
Exactly. Yeah. Now, let me go a little further now. Now, let me tell you my recording. I think why you can laugh at this is why you late. I leave home about 8 o'clock. You know the Wednesday night is the last night that all two political parties kept the last national meeting.
Mm-hmm.
When I leave home after 8. Then I got going across by Independence Square across the bridge. Guess who was praying before the meeting started?
Praying?
Yeah. They had Reverend Durrett opening prayer.
Yeah.
I said, Lord.
The Senator Doctor.
I said, Lord.
God's apostle.
I said, Lord, they cannot get one seat. Because remember, this same man that was praying for David Thompson, dead.
He said that Thompson went dead. He spoke to the Lord. The Lord told him that Thompson is dead.
Yeah, and then he spoke to them, they're feeding the winning. All 30 gone. Then I said to myself, I talk about BSU. They tell the fellas up there that I knew, well, don't worry about a seat for the Democratic Labor Party, because I know who done there pray for them, the apostle. And that is the same man that I can conclude now, because we can got more time. I hear you talk about independent, you talk about people that should be placed in a position where I sense there was no opposition. But you know, it is strange that none of you all recorded that in St. Joseph, an independent candidate beat a Democratic Labor Party candidate. And this is something I feel
Roe
should be placed in the Senate.
That's an observation that needs to be made. And to be quite honest, I didn't realize until I was looking at the data after. It was a significant it's a significant observation.
Significant.
Yeah.
And I believe that Roe should be considered because he could take out a whole Democratic Labor Party candidate. And I told them up there at Bear Street long before I said Roe, because he's from the, I said Roe is going to get more votes. Down holder, because the Democratic Labor Party ain't saying anything, and it can come down to a personality fight, and Rose is respected more in St. Joseph than the man they run as a candidate, and Rose is going to get more votes than him. And so said, so done. Yeah. I could tell you my way of dealing with politics for the longest, and I'm a practical person when it comes to looking at how to deal with elections. You remember I told you with that gerrymandering that took place in 66 at Arabama, building all those housing schemes, and they told you if you put a man in the house and he's unable to feed himself, it is just as dangerous as if you didn't put him in the house. And they told you it can come back to haunt them. You see what happened in America? People talk about this body got money to get people on blocks. But when you in a house and you in a developed area, you can't get that people the money, and they know that they're going to get wiped out, and they finish with the day. People enjoy the day. I just wanted to put that to you.
All right, sir. Thanks a lot for calling. We'll chat soon again. This is Dr. Brad Sachs. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. We have so many views on this whole question of going after. One of them that is interesting, going after politicians, one of the interesting comes from a gentleman said, Peter, do we really want to go down the road of politically motivated prosecutions? If the last government acted legally, but incompetently or unethically, should they face the law courts for that? So strange how some elders in our society put forward the most nonsensical arguments. Other questions I have is, the Attorney General responsible for prosecuting persons or the DPP? Yeah. And then, of course, I have a series of comments from people saying, lock them up. Of course you should lock them up. Why would you not want to lock them up? This is Dr. Brastas. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning. You're welcome.
Good morning.
Yes, ma'am. How are you doing?
I'm not in favor of the former governor general, the former governor of the central bank, and she has sending 1,500 people.
Go ahead and make your point, ma'am.
I feel that he should say the ones to the top cut 10%, the middle 5%, the ones to the bottom 2% or nothing. I feel that would be much better, because then people come up what they're going to do. Some people have the mortgage, the care, children to send to school. And if them still working and getting a little $500 off or dollar or $100 off, I feel that'd be more better for them.
Okay. You do realize, though, ma'am, that there's no legal capacity to cut the salaries of any public servant. There's a constitutional prohibition. So you can't do that anymore.
Oh, you can't do it anymore?
No. Mm-mm.
So they'll have to come out, or you don't know.
But I don't know. I mean, government ultimately will have to make a decision. My sense is that the public service is bloated and it will have to be trimmed. And I don't see that there's any way to get around that. My question is, how do you create the conditions where people coming out can be reemployed and, you know, can take care of themselves? That's my view. But I don't know that it is really an option that can be exercised. Government has for too long been used as an employment agency. And the reality is that that's why we're in the situation that we're in. A big part of the money that was spent by the former administration was sent paying salaries and wages for doing work that was unneeded.
Yes, you know? That's true. So I think if they cut the people now, they have to go to the welfare, and the welfare can't help. The welfare ain't able to help all those people and the children, so I don't know what happened about here.
Yeah, agreed. All right, ma'am, thank you for calling. Interesting point. This is Down to Brass Talks. Good morning. Good morning and welcome. Good morning. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Yeah, what I'm saying is that I called in that Mr. Sinclair. All right, listen to what I'm saying. I still would like to apologize to the people of Barbados.
Well, there's a different story for what?
All right, you know that. I get somebody better on his chest because he's my friend.
My friend too.
Cannot give medication.
Apology from him at the national level. I take that point. However, I don't know that he can apologize for something that there's no evidence that he has said.
All right.
And I remember there was an occasion on this program where someone sent me a WhatsApp note that said that people down there are licorice. And he called in immediately after and said, disassociated himself from that comment. And I agreed that no one ever said that he said so. And certainly, I've never heard him say so. So I don't know that you can be, you know, you have to be fair to him in saying that. I just say to you, though, sir, in comment that I do believe that the Democratic Labour Party needs to have a conversation, or some former members of the DLP needs to have a conversation with the people of Barbados regarding their views and opinions on what they did for the time that they were in office. If they hold to a position that they did nothing wrong, and then attempt to criticize the current administration for doing things wrong, I think that they have a moral challenge. If, however, they come to the people and they say, look, clearly we made mistakes, and for that we apologize, I believe that they will be far better in a position to offer comment and to criticize what's going on now. But I don't believe that they're in a position to do that if they continue to hold to this position that they did nothing wrong. Clearly, you like me, believe that there's an apology that is needed. Right? Not only from Chris, but from a lot of them, quite frankly. All right. Welcome to Dr. Brass Talks. Good morning. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Just a quick comment from someone here is asking if there's going to be by-election, and the simple answer to that is no, there will be no by-election unless Bishop Atherley believes that he wants to step down, okay? Which I suspect he won't. Yes, ma'am, go right ahead.
Hello?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Wickham.
Good morning, sir. Okay, I thought it was a lady, yeah.
No. It was somebody on the phone. I just called it on. Mm-hmm. A couple of things here. Mm-hmm. Have you had a picnic yesterday?
I understand they did, yes.
I noticed that the crowd were significantly smaller than the one that was at the East Coast World. Mm-hmm. I don't know because of the where the helic seems to attract a smaller crowd. Mm-hmm. The other thing is that with Reverend Joseph Hopley, now he came to the constituents and he said that he would have done certain things if the Barbados Labour Party got into power. He never came back so far and tell the people what he did, what he have done. But the people in St. Michael's West, I think it might be a bit too late now for the Reverend Afri to come, because I don't think they're going to accept what he's saying now anyway, because they have decided that, due to the fact that he's now on the opposition side, but as according to him, he's still a member of the Barbados Labour Party, still supports the Labour Party. We do not know how that one will work, because if you are supporting somebody, you're a member still a member of the team, why therefore you have to go over to the opposition? We have come to the conclusion that the good Lord said that, you know, on life you enjoy the things on the earth. The things on the earth is there for man to enjoy. And we can understand that. Right? But do I come and tell you people in St. Michael that, like, if we never went to school, so we don't know, that you like democracy and you like an opposition, because we are not buying into that. Mm-hmm. So therefore, we have decided that we are looking now for representation to replace Mr. Affley. And next Friday, we have asked the citizens of St. Michael West, we are intending to hold a meeting. Are we beginning the
Oh, so you are one of the constituents?
Of course.
Oh, okay.
But I'm not a member of the Barbados Labour Party, but I'm helping them out. And we'll be sending a letter off to the Prime Minister of Barbados, Mayor Motley, QC, the granddaughter of the late Dighton and Ruby Motley, to let her know that Mr. Arthur, will be no longer conducting any government business on behalf of St. Michael's West. So we'll be holding a meeting starting soon at St. Leonard's School. I will also be signing off a letter to the Reverend Affley.
Mia's father is Elliot, huh?
I said Mia's grandfather.
Oh, the grandfather.
Yeah, okay. Dighton and Ruby Motley. But anyhow, the Prime Minister of Barbados will be informed about the actions that we take.
So let me be clear. You're saying that you want to hold a meeting next week with the constituents.
Not next week.
Right. And this is not the BLP constituents, but this is all the constituents.
No, this is Michael West.
St. Michael West constituents, right. But this is not BLP constituents. This is any St. Michael West constituents.
Right.
And you will call a meeting and you will ask for the Prime Minister for representation regarding what? For a representative, basically.
Well, basically what we are doing, we'll be looking at that, and we'll be looking at, there are two people that are interested in representing the interests of St. Michael West.
Namely?
Dr. Carla Haddup, and then there's a gentleman by the name of Corbis Canterbury.
And these are both supporters of the BLP or DLP?
If they are supporters of the MLP or the Prime.
Or they're just constituents?
They're just constituents, like Eddie Boyles.
Okay.
Right. So we have asked the Reverend Affley
to come.
We invite him to come to the meeting. Due to the fact that from the next door, she will no longer conduct any business, government business, on behalf of the Michael West.
Well,
it's going to be. Hello? Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we will hold this meeting at St. Leonard's School. We will invite all the members, all the constituents of Michael West to attend the meeting, and we will give out the further dates. Because we intend that the politicians is not going to do things their way, and year after year, time after time, be standing over and over again.
Right.
We have had enough of this, you see?
Fair enough. The challenge you're going to have, sir, is that there's nothing you can do to force the Reverend to surrender, the Bishop, sorry, to call a by-election and to give up the seat. He's won the seat fair and square, and he is the representative. He is the legitimate representative for that constituency, whether you like it or not. Regardless of which side he serves on, or regardless of what orientation he takes on politically, he is still your representative, and there's nothing that you can do to change it. If you want to lobby for constitutional change, that makes a whole lot of sense.
We agree to that. We know that he's...
Yeah, but that's not going to happen in time to do
that. But the point is that we will choose somebody to do business on behalf of Mr. Michael West. If you understand what I'm saying.
What I would encourage you to do, sir, if you are a supporter of the Barbados Labour Party, I'm assuming that the caretaker for the Democratic Labour Party would be the former speaker, Mr. Carrington.
Yeah, Mr. Michael Carrington, right, was defeated.
I'm assuming that until he states he's no longer coming back, he would be the caretaker for St. Michael West. I would imagine that it would make sense for you to encourage Prime Minister Motley. Prime Minister Motley to identify a caretaker for your constituency as soon as possible. So that supporters of the Barbados Labour Party would have a person to whom they can defer. Supporters of the DLP can have a person to whom they can refer. And now you would want to have a person that you can refer to as a supporter of the Barbados Labour Party to take care of the interests of people in St. Michael West.
Right.
As far as the representation is concerned, Reverend Anthony is still your representative.
Yeah, we can't do anything about that. The other point, Mr. Beckham, a lot of people from the third parties, you know that there were three other additional parties that did not contest the last general election. You know that had the Social Democrats, the Christian Democrats, and the anti-establishment for the Star Movement. And you realize that what you said, they were very offended at last week, Tuesday.
I know.
When you said that...
A lot of them told me so.
That you were charged $2,500?
Yeah.
Huh?
It was too little.
Or...
I said 2,500 or 12 or 10,000.
And you realize that they said that if you had a rally party, you will not even get as many votes, you yourself, as Natalie.
Right, and I won't.
Although you're a political candidate.
And that's the reason why I wouldn't run a party.
Oh, good.
Well, you remember when George Bell had the Workers' Party of Barbados, the WPB?
Of course, I remember
WPB
that.
Were one candidate, and I think he got about 30 votes, if so much.
Well, I told George Bell, right?
I don't delude myself, sir, that because I'm a political scientist, that I would necessarily win an election. And I have always said to people, I know my place.
Okay.
So
but give me the opportunity.
Well, sir,
give people the opportunity.
But, sir, my point is, if you just give me a chance to say it, my point is, and will continue to be, that if we continue at this rate, we will have probably 100 political parties.
But Lynette Eastman will take up what you said. I'll be insulted.
I understand that. And I would expect that she would feel that way because she, generally speaking, doesn't agree with anything I say. But my point is, I would ask Lynette Eastman, what has she positively contributed to the conversation in Barbados? And I am Natalie's candidacy, and I made a point that if the deposit were up to $2,500 or $10,000, as the case may be, I am sure that Natalie could raise that money quite easily. And to me, the ability to raise that kind of money demonstrates the extent to which people are willing to invest in your candidacy. Now, another route, which is something you didn't comment on, that I mentioned last week also, is that you can have a system that says a person can become a candidate if they are able to secure the signatures of at least 100 people. That way, there's no money, but you have to find 100 people who live in the constituency that are willing to go on the record as saying that they support you. I think that is also, it's a more cumbersome method because you have to verify that the people actually live there. But certainly that is also a way of ensuring that you don't have what I would refer to as nuisance candidates. So you have two options. If the money offends you, then we can go by way of the signatures. So find 100 people in the constituency willing to support you, or alternatively, then you don't get the nomination. What do you think?